Blog Talk Radio. How much hope do you have today? Is it just enough to hold on to each hour, day, week, or month? How easy is it to build upon what you've already got? Are you waiting for something to happen? Is chaos causing your hope to dwindle? Or is your hope a flowing stream providing opportunities for creativities which boost life's enjoyment? Let's talk about you and hopefulness today here on Estra's Radio Show. Welcome and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra here on Block Talk Radio this March 23rd, 2013. This is your car accident radio show sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you from Seattle, Washington. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being in a car accident are up for discussion. Dial 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385 to participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured just like you may need to hear your story. But first, our personal injury in the news this week. These are my views on current events and have no association with the writers of the articles. From time to time, I'll be stopping to take a moment to comment on a section. And if you've been with me before, you know sometimes I have a lot to say. Okay, so the first personal injury in the news, because we're going to do three today, is from MSN.FoxSport.com, and it's Houston Astros week off stable after car accident. It says the Houston Astros says minor league infielder Brandon Whitcoff is hospitalized in stable condition after a one-car accident while in Florida for spring training. The team provided no other details about Whitcoff's accident Sunday night or his specific injuries. In a statement Monday, Astros general manager Jeff Luhnow says the team's thoughts are with Whitcoff and his family and friends and express hope for a speedy recovery. Whitcoff has been in the Astros minor league system since being a fifth-round pick in 2009 amateur draft, and that's end quote. And we just wanted to wish Brandon a speedy recovery. And he's welcome to come on the show anytime to share his story. Our second personal injury in the news comes from DisabilityScoop.com, and it's by Michelle Damont. And the actual title of the article is Doctors Turn Away Patients with Disabilities, quote, more than two decades after the Americans with Disabilities Act became law, a new survey indicates that more than 20% of the doctor's offices remain inaccessible to those with special needs. The finding comes from a secret shopper-style poll of 256 randomly selected medical practices in Boston, Dallas, Houston, and Portland, Oregon. Researchers called to schedule an appointment for a fictitious patient, indicating that the individual used a wheelchair and was unable to transfer independently from chair to the exam table. Under the ADA, doctors are required to provide full and equal access to their health care services and facilities. Nonetheless, of the medical and surgical subspecialist phone, 22% indicated that they could not accommodate the patient, researchers reported Tuesday in the Annals of Internal Medicine. The reason for turning away the fictitious patient varied, but most doctors cited an inability to transfer the patients from a wheelchair to an exam table. I just want to stop for a minute there. Personally, if I were in a wheelchair, I would not just want anyone to be able to transfer me from the wheelchair. I mean, accidents happen all the time. I would not want to be dropped accidentally or suffer an injury. And I'm sure that the people in those clinics may feel the same. So one of the questions I have is this something where doctors actually need more support in order to be able to get their offices up to speed? Sometimes it takes a little bit more time to get what you need in order to provide services to everyone, at least in my opinion. But I'm going to go on with the article. Quote, similarly, researchers found that some types of doctors were more likely to accommodate a patient with special needs than others. Gynecologists proved the least likely of the physicians polled, with 44% of those practicing declining the patient. You know, that kind of makes sense to me. I have to stop here for a second. You know, if I was a gynecologist, you know, and I had a patient was in a wheelchair, I mean, and their equipment was not appropriate to be able to assist that individual, from my perspective, I would prefer that they decline me than had me come in and me be humiliated or embarrassed or uncomfortable because they don't have what is necessary to meet my needs. So to me, I just think that there's probably a little bit more to this from my perspective than meets the eye, but I'm going to go on with the article. Quote, gynecologists proved the least likely of the physicians polled, with 44% of those practices declining the patient. By comparison, just 4% of psychiatrists were inaccessible. Researchers said the survey results highlighted the need for physicians to be more aware of their obligations under the ADA. And that's end quote. My comment on this is that I personally believe everyone does deserve the right to health care. I hope that the Affordable Health Care Act eventually gets there, and I hope it gets there in a way that the least of us does not have to actually just be concerned with getting substandard care under this. I hope that it ends up that Americans used to be able to get, the average American used to be able to get standard fair health care. So let's hope that that's where it's going to move to be sooner than later. But as far as the doctors being able to order the equipment and stuff, maybe it's the ADA or I know that that's been passed, but maybe sometimes they'll need to be met halfway. Sometimes it's just not a solution that comes up just for a one-way solution for everyone. So I hope that someone will take the initiative to do a little bit more research in there. I'll keep an eye out for a further investigation on this issue. Our third personal injury in the news comes from money.cnn.com, and it says state private insurance for Medicare expansion enrollees. And I can already tell you now that with this article I have a few pet peeves already, but I'm going to go ahead and get started with it. It says, quote, Republican state lawmakers may not want to expand Medicaid, but some are warming up to the idea of using federal funds to buy private insurance for the poor. Okay, but I have to even start right there. The thing that bothers me about this already is the fact that are the poor going to be treated fairly with respect and dignity? Are they going to get the service they want? Or is this just another way to use government money that most Republicans say they don't even want? Too much government money, but in my opinion, they're getting more of it than the poor people through their subsidies. And maybe this is what this may end up being. It's just another subsidy for a Republican lawmakers to be able to make money off people who are already poor and whose resources are already limited. So, but I'm going to go on and read a little bit more. Remember that all the articles that are in today's program will be out on Esther's blog tips on Facebook, so you can actually go out and read the entire articles there. Quote, "The twist is keeping alive the possibility of broadening Medicare coverage in states where conservative legislators are bucking their governor's acceptance of the optional and controversial Affordable Care Act provision." I have to stop here. In my opinion, I suspect poor people in any state, whether it's Democrat or Republican, independent or nothing, wants services. If you're sick, you're hurting, you need care, you want to be able to go to a doctor. You want to be able to get the service you needed, and you don't want to be treated with substandard care. So the money needs to, in my opinion, the money needs to be put in the people's hands, because people can make a choice as to where they go and what's done. If money tends to go to people who already have the resources, it might be just like senior citizens who are put in high-rise housing who can't get down the stairs. Come on. We need to wake up and take a look at what's really happening to the money that we have, and if it's being used in the way that we want it to be used. And if it's not, we need to vote those people out who aren't helping us. But I'm going to go on before I get over into the next piece. Quote, "Republican governors in at least 8 states have agreed to Medicaid expansion, which would extend coverage to all adults with incomes below 138% of the poverty line. It's part of Obama's administration's push for universal insurance, and the federal government is dangling a big carrot to make it happen. It will cover each state's expansion cost in full for the first 3 years." And I just want to stop here for just a moment. And actually, this article is really long, so I'm going to cut it short after this. They're talking about Obama making money available to get this going, to encourage them to help people who are poor in their state. Can I ask you one question? Why would anyone have to encourage lawmakers in the states to take money to take care of people who are hurting? Why would that be necessary? Anyway, it's a pretty lengthy article, and you can actually go out to Esther's blog tips on Facebook and go ahead and read the full article. But if you're like me, you'll probably have a lot to say after reading it. Commentary on you and hopefulness. Daydreaming of the things you've wanted to do for so long. Perhaps a loving relationship, a stable family life, friends to share with, employment, financial stability, traveling, starting your own business, free from health concerns, the end to car accident claims. Whatever it is, it's typically starting with a glimmer of hope, the hope that it can be obtained. The hope grows only with an attitude of, I can do it, and a determination to succeed. It takes fighting through tough times along with celebrations of small victories along the way. There is no one like you, really. There isn't. How and what you bring to this world counts. It matters. Your success will bring a self-satisfaction, a peace of mind, and hopefulness that will spread to others. Today, many are looking for ways to improve life, especially one's own destiny. Working through struggles, enduring hardships, and building confidence in your abilities and hope move the process forward for you and those who will come up behind you because you stuck to with it, showing a way for others with a hope to create a better life. How can you hold onto hope when all you can see is problems? Realize time is required to pursue your dreams too. Do not spend all your moments on troubles. Don't live inside of concerns. Every life will contain some difficulties. Make sure it does not turn into main focus in your life. Remember to enjoy the simple things day to day. What images are held in your mind? Which make it worth engaging life? Is it yours or some advertiser's? And what impact does it have on your everyday life? How you feel about yourself and others shows. Are you led by commercial images that in reality only a few people obtain? Where do you want to go? What is the best way for you to get there? What mark do you want to leave as a legacy? Use critical thinking to evaluate your thoughts and how they are going to and how they got into your head. How can you get it together? As we talked last week, it's about planting new seeds for life by putting down new roots of hope, by acknowledging what you desire to achieve or the needs that you see before you, like being a part of changing ERISA so injured or sick people have options to challenge disability decisions in a way that holds employers accountable for their actions. I challenged the last six generations to disregard preconceived notions about your ability to find ways to bring a new hopefulness in your life by discovering ways to create new businesses, advocate for people in need, or learn new skills to make your life better. It is not about looking to the ideas of others, but valuing your own. You have so much to give. Let it out in your own way. Do not be concerned on how others see it, as long as it is creating a positive for you and those admiring your personal growth. Not everyone will understand it or agree with it, and it's okay to agree to disagree. Many others do think as you do and will get it. So keep moving forward. I personally believe there is still time to fulfill dreams. Hopefulness opens up these opportunities. Keep hoping. Most dreams are not realized by typical convention. Unique ways of thinking develop new ideas. It is okay to break away from conformity. Ask, who are you? How do you think of things? How do you process information? How can you communicate your message? What motivates your hope? What makes you feel good inside? How can you make living hopeful right for you? How can you bring good to yourself and extend it out to others? Doing right by yourself refreshes your spirit. There is a power within which may promote hopefulness, understanding that mistakes are just a tool along with good decisions. Exceptionalism, in my opinion, is improving yourself one experience at a time. Rainy days will come, making life feel awkward, producing feelings of loss and discouragement. Look to hopefulness in order to continue onward. Be at ease with the many events in your life, using them to gain wisdom to make a better life. Be ready for anything. Keep what you've hoped for at the forefront of your goals. Life has no guarantees, but many adventures. Your dreams and desires are genuine. They do lead somewhere, but you must be willing to take the journey. Yep. Yes, your joy and pain go hand in hand in a lifetime expedition. One cannot have the reward without the work. The same is required for both the able and disabled, whether having a little or a lot. The same is required of you. Live for what you love. This is a major driving force. This force drives the hopefulness inside you. It provides purpose. It offers the tenacity to move forward, to make it to succeed. Get to a place of where you want to be. Become your best advocate each day. This will bring more peace of mind and better outcomes. Be cautious where you place your hope. Guard it, protect it, and keep it in a safe place. Do not turn back. Learn from all encounters. Look to the future. A future of hopefulness. Again, comments made on the articles reviewed today are my opinions and have no association with the writers of them. From time to time, as usual, I'll be stopping and making a comment on a section. Our first article today is from Huffington Post, and the title of the article is Happiest People on Planet Live in Latin America, Gallup Poll Suggests. And it's by Michael Weinstein. And it's, quote, "The world's happiest people aren't in Qatar, the richest country by most measures. They aren't in Japan, the nation with the highest life expectancy, or Canada with its chart-topping percentage of college graduates doesn't make the top 10. A poll released Wednesday of nearly 150,000 people around the world says seven of the world's top 10 countries with the most upbeat attitudes are in Latin America. Most of the seven do poorly in traditional measures of well-being, like Guatemala, a country torn by decades of civil war followed by waves of gang-driven criminality that give it one of the highest homicide rates in the world. Guatemala sits just above Iraq on the United Nations Human Development Index, a composite of life expectancy, education, and per capita income, but it ranks seventh in positive emotions." Amazing, I have to add that. "In Guatemala, it's a culture of friendly people who are always smiling," says Lutz Castillo, a 30-year-old surfing instructor. "Despite all the problems that we're facing, we're surrounded by natural beauty that lets us get away from it all." I have to stop right there. In my opinion, here in America, there's no way you can usually get away from anything. You usually have either a cell phone or you're driving to get somewhere, and either you're watching TV or, I mean, there's just so many demands. There's very little quiet time where, unless you create it, that you find it. Okay, but I'm going to go back to the article here. Gallup Incorporated asked about 1,000 people in each of the 148 countries last year if they were well-rested, had been treated with respect, smiled, or laughed a lot, or learned or did something interesting and felt feelings of enjoyment the previous day. In Panama and Paraguay, 85% of those polled said yes to all five questions, putting those countries at the top of the list. They were followed closely by El Salvador, Venezuela, Trinidad, Tobago, Thailand, Guatemala, the Philippines, Ecuador, and Costa Rica. Just a quick comment. I guess there's something from them that we can learn. That was my comment. I'm going back to the article. Quote, "The people least likely to report positive emotions lived in Singapore, the wealthy and orderly city-state that ranks among the most developed in the world. Other wealthy countries also set surprisingly low on the list. Germany and France tied with the poor African state of Somalia and for 47th place. Prosperous nations can be deeply unhappy ones, and poverty-stricken ones are often awash in positivity, or at least a close approximation of it. It's a paradox with serious implications for a relatively new and controversial field called happiness economics that seeks to improve government performance by adding people's perceptions of the satisfaction to traditional metrics such as life expectancy, per capita income, and graduation rates," end quote. Wow, that was truly amazing and quite surprising from my perspective. This article is a demonstration of the value of looking inward. The realities of what brings hopefulness may be far from any extravagant material item. It may be a peace of mind that is available to anyone, reflecting the importance of attitude and determination, along with creativity in finding a way to develop a simple life dream. Your hopefulness relies in you more than circumstances. Thank you for joining in on the broadcast today. Our next article will be from psychologytoday.com, and it's Insight from Science on the Art of Living by Barbara L. Fredrickson, PhD. And the title of the article is Why Choose Hope? And the reason why I selected it is because I think it shows the side of why hope is so important and the other side of hope. Quote, why choose hope? President Obama continues to urge Americans to choose hope over fear. The choice is vital. Hope and fear are not mere words on a facial gesture. They deeply are felt neurochemical stances toward our current circumstances, stances that alter our outlooks, our actions, as well as the life paths that unfold before us. Fear closes us down. Our actions become rigid and predictable. Pessimism pervades our self-talk and drives our decisions. Our bleak outlooks bleed into exchanges with family, friends, colleagues, eroding any collective sense of safety or security. Fear's negativity also seeps into our bodies and affects our health. We can feel it eating away at our stomach, raising our stress hormones, and turning out shoulder and neck muscles into stone. But what about hope? Do we truly know all that it offers? Can hope lead us out of these dark times? Hope is not your typical form of positivity. Most positive emotions arise when we feel safe and satiated. Okay, you got me on that one. Hope is the exception. It comes into play when our circumstances are dire. Things are not going well, or at least there is considerable uncertainty about how things will turn out. Hope arises precisely within those moments when fear, hopelessness, or despair seem just as likely. Perhaps you've lost your job, your dreams for starting a new business or retiring. Hope in times like these is what psychologist Richard Lazarus describes as fearing the worst, but yearning for the better. Ooh, that sounds good. I have to read that again. That's just such a great sentence. It says, hope in times like these is what psychologist Richard Lazarus describes as fearing the worst, but yearning for better. Ooh, that sounds so great. Okay, I'm going to go on. Hope literally opens us up. It removes the blinders of fear and despair and allows us to see the big picture. We become creative, unleashing our dreams for the future. This is because deep within the core of hope is the belief that things can change. No matter how awful or uncertain they are at the moment, things can turn out for the better. Possibilities exist. Believe in this better future sustains us. It keeps us from collapsing in despair. It infuses our bodies with the healing rhythms of positivity. It motivates us to tap into our signature capabilities and inventiveness to turn around things. It inspires us to build a better future. Anthropologist Lionel Tiger cast hope as the evolved antidote to our big human forebrains. Unlike any other earthly creature, we humans can envision our own future and, in doing so, all possible calamities. Without hope, our dire forecast might constrain us to motionless despair. Yet, with hope, we become energized to do as much as we can to solve our current dilemmas, to make a good life for ourselves and others. We face serious challenges in this country, economic and personal, large-scale and intimate. The choice of hope over fear is pivotal for us all. The more hope we cultivate today, the better equipped we'll be to survive and thrive in the months and years ahead. We're going to need the openness of hope to face our challenges with clear eyes and to find the creative solutions that allow us to come through these dark times stronger than ever. So let us be human. Let us choose hope and build our better future. End quote. And I just think that this is a great article as far as describing hope and hopefulness. It is a choice, and it is a choice that actually leads to a better future, in my opinion. And it allows you not to concentrate on the things that would create despair or hopelessness. There's a better future out there, even when things don't go as you want them to. That just means that there's another door to open, and just keep walking until it happens. Our last article comes from estrasblogspot.com, and the name of the article is Being Thankful for Every Day. What a week this has been. Have you found reasons to be thankful? As I read the number of car collisions around the world each week, I am thankful just still to be here. A disability can sometimes make the journey more difficult. However, one still has the opportunity to become all you can grow into being. I personally believe one's journey of learning about life and who you are never stops. It's the trials and tribulations that continue to transform our minds and bodies. Do we reach perfection? If so, I haven't seen it yet, but I have changed considerably. Experiences have a way of transforming us. What emotions are invoked in you when feeling gratitude or thankfulness? Does it open your heart and mind up to more opportunities? Does it provide relief from worry, trouble, and pain? A time of transition from pessimism to optimism. Thankfulness lets us know there is so much more in our world to appreciate. This includes appreciation of our own humanness and the things that happen to us. Others you may know may also benefit from an attitude of thankfulness. While enjoying this season, remember to be thankful, not because you have to, not because you necessarily have much to be thankful for, only because what you have is so much more than what you could actually have in life. Talk to a survivor of Hurricane Katrina, or Sandy, excuse me. I'm sure in the case of Katrina, that's still true. I am thankful for you and being a part of this program today. In addition to the disabled who struggle with harassment and intimidation, yet continue to stand for change, a change that will bring respect and dignity to many injured car accident victims treated unfairly because insurance companies and self-insured employers want to keep their benefits. I am thankful for the determination to continue fighting for insurance company and self-insured employers to pay out benefits when the injured and sick have paid their premiums. However, their claims rejected at the time they have needed it most because of the cost. I am thankful because no matter my condition, I will continue until there is change for those injured in a car accident. I hope to end the practice of terrorizing the injured by the use of fraud and intimidation tactics to force them to relinquish their benefits. This is the United States of America, and as we saw in the last election, we can vote for change as well as following through until we see results. These results show individuals and their families should be treated with respect and dignity while going through the insurance claim process. I will continue to share not only my story, but bring awareness to this issue. In summary, therefore, I am thankful that through my pain and suffering, I will not relinquish my goal at hand, eventually ensuring those injured receive their benefits, ending decades of benefits withheld due to greed or lack of integrity by those who choose excessive profits over human care and concern, end quote. And I think that says it all. Thanks for being a part of the broadcast. I've enjoyed you being here with us. Make sure to come back on Saturday so we can continue our conversation. Remember to like Estra's Blog Tips on Facebook while you're looking at today's links. We also want to extend a special thank you to Audacity for the sound, InternetArchives.org, Fabian Claudel, Buffalo Thunder, David Sky Marchant, Alexander Blue, Floyd Kramer, Booker T and the MGS, Billy Vaughn, Carpenters, Fausto Papetti, various artists, and the articles which made our time more interesting today. So make sure to visit their websites. Their links are out on Facebook at Estra's Blog Tips. Tune in on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's really up to you. Stay hopeful. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed Estra's radio show to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers. which reflect life experiences. Esther's radio show is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sun Life Publishing at P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington, 98168, or email sunlightpublishing@gmail.com. Thank you. Has tragedy struck in your life, your family's life, or friends' lives? There are thousands of car accidents every single day. People with injuries face a unique set of problems, but don't face them alone. Pick up a copy of Car Accident by Estra. Estra understands your situation and will bring wisdom, knowledge, and support. Learn from her experiences and learn insurance company and employer secrets. Car Accident by Estra is available at all major bookstores. This includes Amazon, Barnes & Noble, eBay, Google, Powell's, and Tower Books, just to name a few. Pick up a copy today. You be prepared and you be informed. Use the checklist in the back of the book at the scene of a collision, so keep a copy in your car. It's easy to forget something when you're shaken up. Isn't it about time you get answers? Buy it online right now. Then listen to Estra's radio show every Saturday morning on Block Talk Radio. And now every Wednesday on Estra's TV on Block TV.